Okay, the February 5th, 2014 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments will come to order. Roll call, please.
Miller?
Here.
McGill?
Here.
Steelmeyer? Scarlett?
Here.
Everyone received an agenda before tonight's meeting. Does anyone have any changes to that agenda? Okay, then hearing none, I'd like to, all in favor of the approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay, along with the packets that we were submitted this evening, there were draft minutes from the December 4th, 2013 minutes meeting. Do we have any corrections or changes to those minutes? Okay, hearing none, then the minutes will stand approved as they were included in your packets. Has everyone signed in? There's a sign-in over here. If you haven't, if you would go to the book, we'd appreciate it. And while you're doing that, in case you're new to the process, let me review what the hearing process is when we go through this. The first thing we'll do is have the planning staff will present a staff report from their perspective. We will hear about any letters or other communications that have been received by the public. We will then ask the applicant to review their case and provide information. If there are any general comments from the public, we will hear those at that point in time. And if there is a closing due to some of those, then the applicant will give a chance to close. At that point in time, the board will close the public portion of the hearing, and then we will go through our deliberations and we'll come up with an answer yet this evening. So that's the general process that we follow as you go. And with that, do we have anyone from the public that just has anything in general to address to the board? Okay. I don't believe we have any old business or table business, so we'll move on to new business at this time. And so the first hearing this evening will be CUP 09-13, Rolling Hills Conditional Use Permit. Turn it over to staff.
Good evening. Again, this is regarding CUP 09-13, also known as the Rolling Hills Conditional Use Permit. Applicant and property owners, Llanos Property Inc., for property located in Section 22 of Indian Creek Township, approximately 1/4 mile of the city of Maxwell there along 653rd. The property is also known as Rolling Hills Mobile Home Park, you may be aware of. The staff report outlined one parcel identification number, but there are actually two. The other one is 1522-125-103. They're both just one big lot, which includes Rolling Hills Mobile Home Park. The size of that area is 33.1 gross acres. Their proposal includes a conditional use permit area that is approximately 3 acres in size. Again, the property is currently being used as Rolling Hills Mobile Home Park, and a city within 2 miles that was notified of the subject hearing to the city of Maxwell. Here you can see the surrounding property owner map that identifies all the surrounding property owners within 1/4 mile of the subject property, which is there highlighted in red. All the surrounding property owners that were not notified are in blue. Zooming in on that property, you can kind of see in the light blue hashed area is the proposed area for the conditional use permit that would include all that swath of vacant land to the north of the mobile home park area, as well as lots 4, 5, 6, and 7 that are just to the south of that vacant area there. The conditional use permit request is to allow for a conditional campground in addition to the mobile home park on the property. The campground proposal will consist of 8 lots and will be located on the north side of the property, as I already exhibited to you. According to the applicant, they have received numerous inquiries from construction workers at the new ethanol plant just west of town here to park the travel trailers on site while they're in town during construction. Again, all the standard conditions of approval that we look at with conditional use permits, and then as well as the overarching criteria that must be met. Looking at all those standards of approval, staff analysis identified, looking at compatibility, for instance, there's a residential parcel to the north of the proposed camping area, the dwelling of which is approximately 900 feet to the campground site. The applicant has proposed planning for use as a buffer if the county so requires. Ingresses and egresses already provided and established in the mobile home park. Each spot contains enough parking for at least two campground sites, depending on the size of the trailer. Signage and permitted safety lighting is already provided through the mobile home park. And overall, the proposed use is very similar to the use already allowed on the property through the Story County Land Development Regulations, well as the County Development Plan. For commercial campgrounds, we have supplemental standards that we look at. One, that the minimum area is at least 2 net acres, that there are a maximum of 20 unit spaces per gross acre park site, 18 width drives, 25 foot if they're two-way, appropriate screening from adjacent property by planting a screen not less than 10 feet in width and 6 feet in height, or by a fence wall berm of comparable means, that there be a common services building for laundry facilities, sanitary facilities, rec facilities, and whatnot, off-drive parking, that there be one parking space for vehicles and within the area of each unit space, and that E911 addresses shall be posted for each site. Looking at those supplemental criteria, A and B are met through the proposal. As I already said, the proposed area is 3 acres. There are no additional drives proposed in addition to the ones that already exist in the mobile home park. We weren't really provided with specific screening on the north side of the property. The common services building is provided for through the manager's building on the northeast side of the property. And then E911 addresses will need to be obtained for each space in accordance with our E911 ordinance. I'll get into that here in a little bit. Notification letters were mailed in accordance with our regulation. You received in your packet a resolution from the City of Maxwell, which they adopted at their January meeting, which happened to be the same night as the Planning Zone Commission meeting last month. The synopsis of that supports the need for the use, but they proposed a reasonable time frame during which the campsites will be permitted. Looking at the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation, again, they reviewed that on January 6th and moved approval, subject to originally 2 conditions. They then amended the conditions to omit the proposed condition number 2, which put an expiration date on the conditional use permit, as well as added in another condition. And this wasn't really outlined in your staff report. I had to go back into the recording because the motion wasn't very well formally presented, so we kind of had to read between the lines. But their condition did limit the number of lots to the 4 lots as recommended by staff. So with that, staff recommends the following conditions. Again, that we limit the number of lots to the 4 existing lots in the mobile home park to just those established lots within the mobile home park, lots 4, 5, and 6. Additional lots may be added through a modification when adequate access drives and screening plans are provided to the vacant area to the north of the mobile home park. And then regarding the second condition of approval that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended, it came to the attention through discussions with staff that specific E911 markers are not required for each camping spot. Therefore, we recommend that this be removed as a condition. So with that, I'll leave you with the following 4 alternatives, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
The resolution from the City of Maxwell, it talks about placing a 1-year time limit during which the campsite will be permitted.
That's kind of what you referred to on that earlier slide that talked about reasonable time frame for...
Yeah. Yep.
And the duration of the CUP, the conditional use permit, if granted, would that be a year?
Not necessarily. Like I said, the Planning and Zoning Commission discussed having an expiration date of 2 years, because that was kind of the initial time frame that they established for use of the space for itinerant construction workers. And then they ultimately came to the consensus that that wasn't necessary. That if the... I'm trying to kind of paraphrase their discussion. There was kind of a little bit of back and forth between a couple of commission members, but one kind of originally recommended that motion based off the resolution, the proposed resolution, because like I said, they hadn't exactly adopted it at that time. They since have, and then discussion exists that if basically that if they currently meet all the standards of approval, then there really isn't, it's really not necessary to have that time frame on there.
Run me through again these four lots.
Yeah.
I haven't caught on to that, on lots versus campgrounds versus whatever. I didn't catch the...
Yeah, and I apologize that the...
process part that has, I assume that's the lots.
Okay. So, our laser pointer isn't working here, so I'm going to...
So, you see all that? The big...
That's the campground to the north.
That's the vacant area.
Right.
Okay, and there's already established lots that are established lots through the mobile home park.
Right.
Are just to the south there. One, two,
right.
Three, four. You see how they...
But how... I guess I'm not understanding the context, because it says limit the number of lots to the four existing lots.
Yep.
We're limiting them for what purpose?
Okay, yeah, we recommend that condition because we weren't exactly sure if they met the supplemental standards of approval for screening and then additional drives to provide access to that vacant area to the north. So they want to use those existing lots for campground sites and then create four new lots to in that vacant area. But they didn't provide any plans for access to that vacant area to the north.
What you're saying is now, you're okay with them to recommend
CUP granted
for existing lots, but not so much for the vacant area.
Correct. Yep.
Those four lots are being excluded from this. Is that...
Included.
Included in the CUP?
Yes, and that the vacant area, for current intents and purposes, not be included until they come forward with a possible modification, and then at that time it would be required that they have those plans for screening. Essentially, I was trying to... The screening is obviously established to create an apparent buffer between the land to the north. By not allowing them to go into that vacant area, it was my thought that distance, just the distance itself, would create enough of a buffer for the time being. And then as well as they didn't provide for any additional access, the access drives proposed. So the current four lots do have access by the current drive that's already established. So... Yes.
And just as a follow-up, I missed something. The planning and zoning, are they recommending the 2-year limit, or are they not recommending the 2-year limit?
They did not recommend the 2-year limit.
That's okay.
Yep.
Is there one requirement that got pulled off also?
Yes. Well, we're recommending by staff. That was actually part of their motion, but... After the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, Charlie Dissell, he's actually the guru of the E-911 ordinance. I'm not as well adept at it. He issues all the E-911 addresses. He said that the E911 ordinance allows for, in mobile home parks and campgrounds such as this, that there's one E911 address for the whole park, and then they would just have to have lot numbers on each lot. So an actual E911 address marker, the blue marker, wouldn't be required.
There's only one access into the park, and that's the one there on the west side?
Correct.
That's sufficient?
No, south.
Oh, on the south? Okay.
Yep.
When there's a road, when you pull into the trailer court, you go to the north?
You can either take a go straight or take a left into the mobile home park. Taking a left would get you
to the proposed campground area.
Yep.
Would there be any need for a buffer on the south side of that campground for those residents that are permanently living there? Because sometimes campgrounds get noisy.
The supplemental standards only require the buffer to be created for surrounding properties, and all this is on one property. So. Well, ultimately, they would probably create an access drive through one of those lots, established lots. But it would have to be an access drive of, again, at least 18 feet. It would have to be, you know.
Realize it shouldn't be as difficult as I'm probably making it, but it's, I mean, I came here thinking about the larger area.
Mm-hmm.
Cut those four lots.
Yes. Well, and that you could add four more lots to that vacant area through a modification.
That's not the question. You're recommending the only thing you grant is on the four existing lots.
The condition of approval that I recommended. Let me just go back to it.
We need a bigger picture.
Additional lots may be added through a modification when adequate access drives and screening plans are provided to the vacant area to the north of the mobile home park. The proposal that the applicant provided was for 8 lots. Staff's recommended condition to limit that currently to 4 lots.
So any modification that he requested then would be brought back to this group?
I think that you could decide what that would be tonight if you would like to see it. Again, I would say it would at least be a minor modification. Yeah. If not a major modification, minor modification would just go to you. A major would go to the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as the Board of Adjustment. Whereas an insignificant is just staff administrative review.
You're not recommending that we consider that an insignificant modification, or are you?
I don't have an opinion either way.
But the recommendation that is being made is only for the 4 existing lots. And if we grant it in this case, if there is activity on that shaded area to the north, then it would have to come back here because we haven't granted anything for that, correct?
If you wanted.
Also have something conditional as it relates to the vacant 4 lots to the north. If we want to, we can also do that.
The limiting factor is the supplemental standard A, which requires that the minimum area of commercial campgrounds be at least 2 net acres.
4 lots alone won't be 2 acres. Yes, it will or won't.
No, correct. It will not.
Well,
I mean, if you include the, again, you're looking at all that area being the conditional use permit area. and then limiting the number of lots currently to just those four existing lots. In the future, if they wanted to add, if they wanted to add more lots, like they proposed to have eight lots, then they would have to come forward with more plans for screening, as well as access drives to that vacant area.
I think you said we're struggling with where are we adding value here.
Yep.
So, if I understand now, in listening to you, we actually are approving a conditional use permit for all of the crosshatched area.
Mm-hmm.
Functions of a campground.
Mm-hmm.
But we are limiting them to four lots, even though the conditional use is there. We're limiting them to four at the current time until they work to staff to come up with the rest of the development detail.
Correct.
I thought we were drawn back from the whole process.
The conditional use
that we're doing, we're saying that a use of a campground across the whole crosshatched area is okay. But there's a limit being placed on, but you can only use four for the time being until we know more about the rest of your development.
And we'd be granting the authority to the staff to make the determination that the crosshatched area
after
could
the development
be
issue of staff, we've already granted the conditional use, which is why we don't have to be involved for the expansion of the lot.
I guess that's what I was trying to understand.
I'm sorry for believing it, but that was where I was losing it. Did everybody kind of get that? So this is for purposes of conditional use.
Okay.
We're not going beyond, we're not approving additional lots right now. We're limited to that because the lots can be distinguished by staff as part of a development plan.
And do you want us to determine whether or not a modification would be insignificant, minor, or major? Is that part of what we're doing?
You could establish that in your conditions of approval. Definitely within your purview. Leanne normally determines, you know, what modifications come to you or not. But if you wanted to make sure that you saw it, then that would definitely be prudent.
I'm better now. Like I said, I thought we were limiting our conditional use to the four.
Yeah.
But we're not. We were looking at conditional use for the entire crosshatched area.
Ask, like, philosophically, why are we at this point right now? If the area required includes the land to the north just to meet the minimal standards of approval, why wouldn't we wait until the land to the north was such that we could feel comfortable signing off on all eight lots? I mean, is it just a matter of timing here?
Our ordinance isn't clear in determining, you know, if you have a 40-acre lot that you want to have for a commercial campground, for instance. It has to be at least 2 net acres. It doesn't really establish that you can't just have four campground lots there. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, somebody could come in and say, okay, well, since the area has to be at least 3 acres, but we really only intend to use one, we're just going to say the area is this, but we're only ever going to use this one. I mean, it almost seems to me that it kind of flies in the face of the intent of the ordinance, quite frankly.
I think that could definitely be an interpretation. I think when I looked at it, the intent of the ordinance, and perhaps Leanne could disagree with me here, but was to keep away from having a property in which you had a commercial campground just so you could have one of your trailers, somebody living in a trailer there as a permanent residence, and get away from our, this one dwelling per lot requirement, for instance. So.
Anyone speak for the applicant this evening? Would you approach the podium, please, and identify yourself?
Hi. I'm Michelle Gallen. I'm the on-site manager of Rolling Hills Mobile Home Park.
Okay. What would you like to
willing to answer any questions
board.
You have.
Okay.
Questions? We aren't planning on using the big crosshatch area. The only thing we want to use that for is for a beautiful walkway. There's water involved there, and there's no use for it as a camping area. We just needed it for the land, for the lots themselves. That's the only reason that is included in there at all. We don't have any major plan on using it for anything, but as a walking path, maybe, have a gazebo back in there.
So on these four lots, if I'm understanding it correctly, there's going to be up to eight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can pull in next to each other and still use the same common sewage drain and water.
Okay.
And still have room aplenty between all of them.
So chances are, if you can use those four lots as eight campsites, if you will, you're probably never going to ask for additional action on the north section.
On that north section? No.
Okay.
No, sir.
Okay.
There's, if you go back in there and walk, there's a stream line that runs in there that has marshed out that until even that gets dug out and it needs a controlled burn before we can even see what is back in there. Because when I walk back in there in boots, I sink in mud knee high.
So essentially you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
Took us a while to get there, but I think we
I figured if I just said there's nothing going to go on there but some walking paths,
yeah,
or maybe a gazebo or something nice for people to set at, or a picnic area or something.
Okay.
And that's not even anywhere in the future.
Okay. No. Okay. I think we understand the gist of it at this point. That helps clarify it.
So. All right. Okay. Is there anything else?
Nope. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Okay, then we will now close this case for purposes of deliberation. First thing we have here is the finding of facts in Ryan. Do we need to identify that additional parcel as part of corrections on the findings of facts, or is that... And you added that, and I put it down in my notes, that parcel 15-22-125-103, does that need to be amended in the record?
It's identified in the application on earlier in part of the DNL.
Okay. I was just going by, since we have this, whether that needed to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions on findings of fact? Okay.
I move to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment. Second.
Oops, get my stuff here. Okay, we've got a motion and a second to adopt the findings of facts in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Vote, please. Roll.
Sir?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Thielmeyer?
Aye.
Okay, now we've got to, I guess I might ask, the staff has not indicated in terms of the development criteria that we've got to look at compatibility, transition, traffic, parking, loading, signs and lighting, environmental protection. Is any board member that has concern on any of those areas that above and beyond us, the staff has not indicated any irregularities from their conversation?
Move to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill, a second from Scarlett, to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustments. Roll.
Thielmeyer?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. Okay, then we come to the part of the order which we come up with some words to to address that condition. Ryan, one more question before we get to this part. In the wording that was in here, you know, it started off by talking about they're going to add 8 camping lots, and now we're talking about 4 lots. Do we need to address the fact that there are 4 existing lots which may be used as 8 camping lots? Does that need to be? Because clearly the intent is to have 8 units in there.
Just use those 4.
Because the inference, if you go by 4 and you use the definition of lot, their request was for 4, was for 8 camping lots.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and that was my mistake.
I want to make sure I get that
quite clear.
So what we would be doing is putting a criteria that allows 8 camping units on the existing 4 lots. So we want to work that in as our condition. Somebody feels creative.
Can I ask you a question? This might be the wrong time for this, but the notification that went out, did the notification go to the mobile home owners, or did it go to the owner of the lot?
Just the owner of the lot.
Like when you had your planning and zoning meeting, did any mobile home owners come and complain or say, hey, we don't want this here? I mean, they wouldn't have gotten notice, is basically what we're saying.
And talking with that with the applicant, it was my understanding that they discussed it with several of the surrounding mobile home owners or lessors, and they didn't have any issues with it. Perhaps they could clarify further.
Or signs up, there would have been signs up, correct? I mean, like, there would have been notice signs up in the mobile home park, but talk about the fact that this was being considered for a conditional use permit, wouldn't there be? I see.
This time of year, we're not able to put signs in because the ground's too hard.
Okay.
Changing over to the term sites.
Okay.
Limit the number of camping sites to be 8 on sites located on the 4 existing lots. So that doesn't differentiate, that differentiates the camp sites and lots, because it currently has lots that are there, and that's not being changed. But we're limiting 8 camping sites on the existing 4 lots. So it would be this motion with this condition.
With that condition, yes.
Would we also want to add to that how, I mean, even though it may never happen and it sounds like there's no intent to do it, any modification would be a insignificant dealt with by staff, minor dealt with by us, right?
Can if we want, but
or major dealt with planning and zoning and us, right?
Usually the director makes those decisions on an ongoing basis.
Right. Do we want to add anything specific, though, saying what type of modification it is, or do we care?
Given that the applicant has indicated not having any interest in developing the rest of that to the north, and with the conditions that she related to us, I would say it's probably not necessary.
Okay. I would say that's true.
If I really thought it was going to be developed, it might be a different conversation.
Okay. Move to approve the conditional use permit as proposed by the applicant, case number CUP09-13, as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment, finding that all the applicable standards of approval will be satisfied upon the conditions listed below. 1. Limit the number of camping sites to be 8 sites located on the 4 existing lots in the mobile home park. Lots 4, 5, 6, and 7. Additional lots may be added through modification when adequate access and drives and screening plans are provided to the vacant area to the north of the mobile home park.
Okay. Second.
Hey, we have a motion from McGill and a second from Scarlett. I'm not going to reread that. That's in the record. Might get one or two words mumbled up. But I think we have the sense, you know, that we are approving it along with the condition that we're going to have 8 camping sites on 4 existing lots along with the additional development language. Okay, roll please.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Gilmeyer. McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye. But your request is approved. Thank you. Okay, we will move on to other business then. We've got a couple of annual reviews. The first one is the Chamness Conditional Use Permit.
Again, your requested action tonight is to evaluate this review and make any recommendations you see fit on the report we submitted to you. This is regarding case CUP03 of 2012, which was approved by the Board of Adjustment January 30th of last year to establish a woodyard waste disposal site. The Board Adjustment, upon recommendation of PDC, issued conditional use permits for nurseries, greenhouses, including retail cells, that have included a component of wood and yard waste as proposed by the applicant. The original conditions of approval, I believe that everyone was on the board at that time, so you may recall, one, that any future new structure used wholly or in part for the nursery shall require conditional use permit modification, shall not be approved unless it's determined that the zoning permit will be in accord with intent purposes of our regulations. Signage of the property must apply for a sign permit before being erected. The conditional use permit will be reviewed annually. The applicant shall submit an annual report, reviews drop-off day traffic, and daily log of users and traffic flow. Dust control measures being in place. Wells present on site must be located. The applicant shall provide designated traffic control on site and designated roadways on free drop-off days in the spring and fall. Excuse me. Looking at staff's review, summary of that, in our conversation with the property owner, Noreen Black, she stated that the addition of the yard and waste collection site on the property has been a great partnership for them, and they're having any issues with its interference with any other permitted uses on the property. As you may well know, Black's Heritage Farm is there. We'll get into that discussion here shortly. Conversation with Gary Friel, the superintendent of the Ames Resource Recovery Plant. He stated that that the first free day was a little bit of a disorganized a mess. His office subsequently had several meetings with Chamness, and then the subsequent free days, in his words, went off without a hitch. He also added that Chamness has been great to work with and good for the resource recovery plant. He also stated that Chamness submitted logbooks and reports to them as well. The planning development office received the report in January. I think originally my memo to you did not include that information because I received that after I submitted the original memo. The report, which was in Excel format, so I wasn't able to really attach that to the memo. I just kind of pulled out the essential information, identified 5 days throughout the year they had free days, one in the spring and four in the fall, it looks like. And you can see that the visitors there were anywhere from 200 to 1,200. And then staff finally identified that all conditions of approval have been met so far. So with that, I'll leave you with the three alternatives: to accept the annual report and schedule a further annual review for 2014, or discontinue annual reviews, or any other alternatives you may come up with.
Probably the biggest reason is there's a contractual relationship between the City of Ames and this. County resources as an urban layer when we already have something like that and we've got indication that it's working, everything, that an annual review is necessary. It's not that everything else doesn't apply. It still does. But I'd almost like to remove it from the list of annual review as an unnecessary staff activity.
If I may, I would point out that a representative from Candace is here if you would just like to get any information or questions from them. It's up to you.
Didn't have a
not necessary.
Like that. Is,
nope.
Is there anything you would like to add?
What?
If you had something, if you'd approach the podium, we'd appreciate it.
The limit of 300 max, so they're actually making 300 vehicles on the first day, but we got over 900. That's why the first day was a mess. But the second day we have like the multiple lanes for people to drop off, so at least it's improved. But I basically don't have much. It's simple operation.
It is a lot of logistics.
I move we direct.
We have on average about 5 vehicles on the now 3 days, so it's been really much going on there. And on the 3 days, yeah, there's a lot of people.
Okay.
I move we direct staff to discontinue the annual reviews on CUP 03-12 and recommend the conditional use permit be part of the code enforcement periodic evaluation. Code enforcement will then report back to the Board of Adjustment on any reported violations of the conditional use permit.
We've got a motion from McGill, a second from Scarlett, to direct the staff to discontinue the annual reviews for CUP 03-12, along with the other conditional use things still remain in effect. Roll, please.
Miller.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Steelmeyer.
Aye. We will. You have a question, sir?
Yes, just one question. In the permit, it doesn't say what kind of report it needs to be every year. And if there's an update for that, but length, it's hard to get that in general. So I wonder if the direction to discontinue the review and review when that comes to report.
Staff have some input to them?
If we're going to discontinue annual reviews, Liam might disagree with me. I don't see why we would need that information, especially when they're already giving it to the resource recovery plant.
I think that's fine. Is there anything we need to act on for that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Question.
Then we have one more review. And we have a review of CUP 09-07, Black Heritage Farm Conditional Use Permit.
Again, this is regarding CUP 09-07, which was approved by the Board of Adjustment January 3rd, 2008. This is one of my first cases that I had when I first started here, over 6.5 years ago now. The request was to expand their current retail and novelty farm to grow more crops and more varieties of crops, extending the length of the growing season by building tunnels, building commercial kitchens to process their produce. Excuse me. essentially, they already had a conditional use permit in place, and they wanted to expand it beyond that which was already allowed in the original conditional use permit. They also included plans for farm to market towards heritage tourists, provide more visitors throughout the growing season. At the time, there was a lack of formal plans exhibiting the scale of the expansion. The board at that time found it prudent to require annual review as a condition of approval. The last of those annual reviews was conducted on October 27, 2010, and reviewed by the Board of Adjustment on that October 6th. They found that it's still meeting the required conditions. The high tunnel, which was a project started prior to the issue of the conditional use permit, is not complete. Talking with Darren Moon about signage, they're not requiring one. That's actually a sign in the road right away. There was a discussion during that original conditional use permit review about requiring like a caution sign for pedestrian traffic in the road right away. If the Blacks would like to put up that signage, they'd need to contact the engineer's office. They don't have any intentions of expanding the farm at that time, and staff found that the applicant at that time is in compliance with the conditions of approval. It was then subsequently at that October 6th meeting moved to discontinue the annual reviews. But per the conditions of approval, the 5-year review was conducted by the Board of Adjustment on January 30th, 2013. At that time, it was moved and extended to January 2014. You already discussed the next bullet point regarding Chandness. And then in November of this past year, Noreen brought to her office proposed insignificant modification to allow for small gatherings such as wedding receptions with the condition that a log be kept and submitted annually detailing the date of the event, number of visitors, event description, and number of vehicles. And that be submitted annually with the first one in December of this year. The reasoning for that was that if you remember Prairie Moon Winery, they're another retail novelty farm conditional use, and we allowed for their reception hall. So that kind of opened that up for allowing it with other retail and novelty farms. And so in addition, the applicant has come forward with another conceptual request. It was reviewed in December 2013 for adding to the area hosting of large-scale events such as concerts and seminars. An application was received last week, I believe, for that proposal. It looks like that the applicant has multiple conditional uses identified through this, which would include a commercial campground, adaptive reuse of existing buildings, grain bins for overnight stays, as well as a commercial kitchen for feeding guests. It's unclear to staff at the time how the proposal would affect the existing uses of the property. Essentially, she came at the time when with the insignificant modification request and identified that she was looking to have large-scale events like rodeos and concerts, like outdoor concerts. And we kind of figured at that time that those didn't really fit into the purview of retail and novelty farm, the definition. So that's kind of why those two were separated. We're not really sure in staff's viewpoint the threshold of, the number of visitors, which would kick it up to large-scale events. So we're still kind of trying to work that out before next month's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting with our recommendations through our staff report. But nevertheless, I thought it was good to identify to you this information for this annual review because it may affect the current conditional use permit of a property. Don't think it's necessary to get through those that were submitted in the staff report, but I will go through my analysis of the current conditional use permit. It appears that the farm is still meeting the required conditions as set forth by the Board of Adjustment. The commercial kitchen proposed is still not complete. The farm still sees to be a successful business, however, those were in the words of the applicant. The commercial kitchen that was allowed through that conditional use permit, I would say, was just to process produce. Commercial kitchen for processing produce, not for meals, banquet meals and whatnot. They propose adding, again, I went into that a minute ago. Again, like I said, during Chamis, it's been a good thing for them. Where those yard waste are collected is separated on another part of the property. That doesn't affect the comings and goings of Black Heritage Farm. The high tunnel is still not complete. And again, currently staff has found that the applicant is in compliance with all conditions of approval. So it's kind of a general synopsis. There are a lot of irons in the fire.
My feelings on this one are not the same as the previous one. With the history of this property and with it being somewhat unknown as to where this property is headed, I think it's important for us to stay in touch. Having said that, I would have to, and if they were here, I would turn around and thank them for actually staying in touch with staff and talking to you, that they're thinking about these things. That's just so much better than the alternative. So if they were here, I would thank them for that interaction as you go. But I would personally accept this report and direct staff to schedule a review the next time around and stay in touch with this property. I can move, but I can give my opinion at any rate.
Accept the annual report, CUP 97, and direct staff to review the
second, an official second.
Got a motion from Miguel and a second from Fillmore to accept the annual report for CUP 0907 and direct staff to schedule a 2014 annual review. Roll, please.
Meyer?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. Thank you. Any comments from the board this evening? I'd like to say. Any comments from staff?
I guess I would just say that I apologize for the lack of clarity in the Rolling Hills thing. You know,
I got it finally. It took me, you spent more time with it than obviously I had, and it was the use of lots and lots, and that's why I distinguish sites from lots. So anyhow, that worked for me better.
It just seems odd to have camping sites among mobile homes. I was looking at the hash marked area at the top, assuming that was our four lots, and then it made sense. But when you looked down and saw them in between, I thought, okay.
The one thing that came up during the Planning Zoning Commission, she didn't mention it tonight, is that I think most, if not all, of the mobile homes are rented out. So the mobile home park owns all the mobile homes, so I think it may be...
I'm only going to be here till November.
Do we have a meeting next month at this juncture?
Don't believe we have any applications at this time, but since we have moved the deadline to the middle of the month, we might still have something come in.
Okay.
I'll update you either way, whether it's
okay.
Moving forward having one or if it's canceled.
With nothing else, then we will stand adjourned. Thank you.